You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
My. I'm doing very well, sir. And how
Rosy are and cozy. You?
What'd you say?
Rosy and cozy.
Oh, I like that. Mellow yellow jello. That is so cool. You know, I got to tell you, Marco, I kind of look for every Wednesday night now due to the fact of, you know, this is the time of the year that the creatures are really seen, especially this weekend coming up, ladies and gentlemen. So you keep your eyes peeled, ears open, because it's a big weekend, and people are out barbecuing, camping, swimming, having a good old time. I'll venture to say, Marco, and all you out there, that by the time our show airs next week this time, we'll have probably had about 6 to 15 calls of sightings from around the globe, because this is very, very important right now because of all the people out there enjoying the holiday season. It's our birthday. It's our nation's birthday. It's 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. I want everybody to enjoy it. Everybody to have a splendid time. You know, I got to tell you guys something. You know, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and Marco's heart and everybody that belongs or is connected to SFBI, from all the well-wishers, from all the cards and emails that we've got for Mitch Waite's mama. Mitch Waite, you should be the happiest and luckiest man in the world to know that you've got so many people out there pulling for your mother either way and just loving her to death and just knowing what she's going through, and they want her to go on an easy and painless way. But the love that's pouring out, you have no idea. I hope you're on tonight, that therefore you can thank them personally yourself. But they just come in droves, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank you, and Marco wants to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all those wonderful people out there just wishing her the best no matter what happens. And we know that it's in God's hands. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Furthermore, I want to take this time to thank my girls, specifically Becky and Connie. These two girls, ladies and gentlemen, amongst the others, you know I mention them every week. They're incredible. And when I tell you incredible, incredible. These girls are relentless. They care. They have passion in their heart. They have compassion in their bodies. And they care about me and my guys. Every week, about a week goes by. I want to thank you girls from the bottom of my heart. Because without you, there's no us. I've said that before. I got to tell you guys, I'm elated, okay? There's a new radio show out there on Blog Talk. I don't know if it's on Monday nights or Tuesday nights, but somebody sent me a link. And normally I don't listen to these shows because I got too much doing. But I happened to because it was a brethren of ours, Jan Allen. He has a show called The Great American Phenomena Hunt, Blog Talk Radio. And halfway through the show, I knew all the guests because they've all been on our show, gentlemen. But all of a sudden, my name pops up. And this one, then the next guest starts talking about me. And then even the guest, Jan Allen, pops up and says, "Hey, man, you know, I've been with Tom across the country, and I've never seen him do this. And he's always been out in front, and yada, yada, yada." And I want to thank those guys, especially, I don't know what that other guy's name is, soft-spoken guy. Never met him before. I think his name was Jeff. Something like that. I'd like to meet him someday. He's a class act, Dan Allen, as you are. He has a panel of three hosts, and they interview people. As a matter of fact, they even heard the Gentle Giant. He came in and gave his 2 cents. And yeah, he's 7'4", ladies and gentlemen. But I this is one show that I enjoyed, not because that I stood up for Tom Biscardi and said the things that made them wrench at their hearts, but a lot of it was all true what they had said. Okay? And it was an incredible part, and it jerked at my heart to hear people who've never met me said, "Hey, man, you know, what if that was out, you were out there, and you had that hoax thing happen to you? It could happen to any." I like these guys. The one guy I like, particular Jan, you got a great guy on your show, and I think his name was Jeff. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember. But one hell of a guy. I want to shake that man's hand someday. But nevertheless, we've got a whole lot of show. Now, we had a guest that was going to be with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and by the way, they were unsolicited. These guests tonight were unsolicited. We got a call out of the blue. People have heard him on my show before, Steve Dismore. He's been on my expeditions a few times. And he says, "Tom, I need to talk to you and Marco, and I'd like to use your radio show as a vessel to tell my story." And I says, "Have at it, brother. I have no problems with that at all. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you heard about a guy from Arizona and then the guy from New Mexico. I'm not going to mention their names because they don't deserve the credit, except one from New Mexico does. I think he's a stand-up guy. But what happens is they went down there to Land Between the Lakes, the Steve Dismores, because they were going to film with this guy out of Florida. Well, all of a sudden, he starts unleashing and telling us the story that, well, the guy supposedly said that I should retire, stood in the camp for 3 days. They came out for a week. They ended up there being for 3 days. They drank Jack Daniels and beer all night long and smeared people and talked smack. The only one that didn't do any of that was J.C. Johnson, and I take my hat off to you, J.C. You're a real man, like I've always said in the past. But here's this clown, you know, that he has no pride. This guy has got no pride. He's got no respect for anything. He'll drop them on the flip of a coin, okay? And what happened with Steve, he had a cousin got shot, supposedly, this morning. And he's at the hospital comforting him and the family. And he asks if he can come on at another date. You know, our vessel is at the ready whenever they are. But you know what? We have a plethora of guests around the world. And I try to keep this fresh for everybody. We got some great stuff coming up. But without any further ado, I want to go to Florida, my brethren, Tim Fasano, my paisano. Because you know what, Tom? I'm tired of listening to this bickering crap and this nonsense and garbage. Can I come on and use your radio show as a vessel to spout off for a few minutes? I says, come on, brother, you can do it. Timmy, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good evening, and thanks for coming on, and hopefully for sharing some good stuff.
Well, I'll do my best. I was looking forward to your guest, Steve Dismore.
You and I both, because I'll tell you straight up, he had Marco, Bill, and I had Marco, Bill on the phone for an hour and had me on for about 40 minutes, and the horror stories he was telling us about the so-called expedition that went awry. And I'll let him talk in his own tongue because I don't want to say anything wrong. So that's what we need to do. And when he's, you know, gets away from that family situation about his cousin getting. But I'll just brief it over just for your sake, too. Talked about them drinking mainly the guy from Arizona, the guy that told me that I should retire and that he can do a better Bigfoot job than I do. He's the new Bigfoot hunter on the block. And that guy was drinking all night long, Jack Daniels and beer. And he never left the campsite. What does that tell you? Does that mean that you had a little bit too much stuff to drink? I don't know. But and then he says that the guy that asked to come down there, the guy that was doing the movie, John Johnson, accused him of being a hoaxer. So he wanted to talk about all that. And then he talked about Melba Ketchum. He says he had Melba Ketchum on the phone for 45 minutes, couldn't get her off the line. And his exact words to me was, I think she's looking for a man. Think that's true, Melba? I wonder if that's true. So, nevertheless, that was the gist of the story, and it was going to come from his mouth. But hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get him on next week, and you'll hear it coming out of his mouth. So, what do you think of all these haters and bashers, Tim?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Melba Ketchum. She's been featured in the last day or two on a website called the Olympic Project out of Washington, D.C. by a man that runs a site called Derek Randles, who was one of the co-founders of the Skookum cast over 10 years ago. I know you're familiar with that. The imprint of the Sasquatch reclining on the ground, eating an apple or something. Critics of it believe that it may be an elk reclining. I've seen it. It's inconclusive at best. But I know Derek Randles. Derek Randles is a friend of mine. I have his phone number in my cell phone. And I know he's as straight up and as honest as the day is long. But in the last couple of months, he sent me an email saying that they had some type of DNA and they were having it tested. And that was about all he would say. He said something about a press conference coming up. And then 2 days ago, the claim was made in the Erickson Project that what they had was two Bigfoot bodies. And they had the bodies on ice. And that the two bodies had been shot by a bear hunter. Right on the Nevada-California border. Just south of the Sierra Nevada mountain range. And that this is where they were getting the DNA samples, and they were sending them to Melba Ketchum. And you still there, Tom?
I'm there, baby. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I'd fallen off like last week when the battery ran out. The Olympic Project website is featuring Melba Ketchum on their front page with a link to her and the study that they're doing on DNA. And Crypto Mundo blog blew this up yesterday, the story about the claim about having the two bodies in a freezer. Not just one, but two. And then Derek Randles wrote a post yesterday morning, and I believe Derek. Derek is a good guy, but like everybody, he can get in. He's capable. We can all get in over our heads and try to defend people that may have misled us. If he was defending the hunter, he said the hunter said he was attacked by three what he believed were bears and shot them. Then he realized that they were Sasquatches, and then he left the scene, and then they came back into the area the next day, and they found tissue. They didn't find a body. They found tissue, quote, tissue, and that this is what they've got on ice. But the bottom line is that they claim that Melba Ketchum is doing the DNA analysis of this tissue. Now, this has been going on for months and months and months. I don't know, how long does it take to do a DNA study? I don't know. I don't believe that it would take 6 months and you still don't have a result. But this is what's out there right now.
Tim, let me ask you something. Why is it that
yes.
when you apply, or unless, are you a scientist? Are you a PhD or anything that I don't know about?
Yeah, I'm just an average guy that went to college and I work for a living.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're how dare you apply logic to this situation? Why doesn't the rest of the world do what you just did? Tell me that. Or is everybody in the dream
right.
world, or is everybody in a euphoric state of delusion? Now, let me ask you this.
Well,
let me finish, please.
Yeah.
I want to make a point with you, since I'm dealing with an intelligent person. Here, a guy goes out on Craptamundo. What's it called?
Craptamundo.
Oh, okay. So it's not Craptamundo. It's Cryptamundo. Okay. So on Craptamundo, and they put out a story that states that there's two dead Bigfoots that they had on ice that they were supposedly given some kind of tissues and passed that on to Mrs. Ketchum. What's her name? Melba Toast. That's her name. Yeah, Melba Ketchum. And she was doing the DNA on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, and they even feature a photograph of her standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon with a broad smile on her face.
Oh, again, I know somebody sent that to me, and I believe that's a picture dating back to 1986, I believe. I really do.
Okay.
I saw Melba Ketchum.
okay, up close and personal, okay? I've had some real good chats with Melba Ketchum, okay, up close and personal, and she knows that, and I hope she's listening tonight, okay, because we're going to get to her pretty soon when I got my fine friend Richie on the phone. But here's the deal. Here these guys went out and Cryptomundo, whatever the names is, put up this story. Then the next day they retract the story because of your friend Derek Randall. Is that correct?
Derek set the record straight. The hunter claimed he shot and killed over 1,000 bears. His lifetime. Derek said it was ruling free, but then there were two Bigfoots that there was just tissue. But I know Derek, and I would trust Derek with my life out in the field, just like I would trust you, Tom. But all of us can get in deep in something that stays a little bit out of control.
Jimmy, I understand that. Listen up. I'm getting to the juice of the steak now. So my point is this. Cryptomundo, do they just put anything up there on that site? Are they trying to scoop everybody for stories because of Mr. Lorne Coleman? Because that's all he is. He's nothing but a reporter and tries to scoop them all. I'll never forget the day he called me with the hoax. He said, well, you promised me the photo, and I want to get it out there before anybody else. Typical reporter. Not a cryptozoologist. He's a reporter. That's all he is. Don't let me get on that situation. So now here's the deal. My problem is, why would you go out and report this crap if it isn't true? Knowing how forthright you are and how righteous you're supposed to be, okay? What's going on here? What's that all about? Huh?
Well, here's the difference between Lauren Coleman and Tom Biscardi. Someone tells Lauren Coleman that they've got two Bigfoot, and I hope I'm not misrepresenting this, but that they have two Bigfoot on ice. Well, instead of investing money in an airline ticket to fly out there, getting off the plane and saying, okay, guys, where the hell are these two Bigfoot at? He didn't do that. Apparently, he just ran with the story, which is not what a real journalist would do. Tom Biscardi, from my understanding, in 2008, invested the money in an airline ticket to fly out to Georgia to open the lid on the freezer and look inside and try to determine what was in there. Now, he was deceived by some very deceitful people who put organs and guts and stuff in there, and would only show it to him in the middle of the night with a flashlight. But at least Tom Biscardi went to see for himself if these guys had what they claimed they had. Now, Tom Biscardi that I met and worked with in Florida is not a gullible individual. If I told him I've got a Bigfoot on the freezer, he would show up and say, all right, what's this bullshit? You're talking about a Bigfoot. I want to see this damn thing. Coleman never did that. And I'm not bad-mouthing the guy because I think it was posted by one. He's got five or six stringers that post on his blog. So they may have put that up. It was put up under somebody else's name. But it did appear on Cryptomundo. And I'm not believing that this is... Cryptomundo is no longer, in my opinion, becoming a reliable source of information. If they're just printing rumor and innuendo and urban myth, then I can't take them to be credible at all.
Well put, Timmy. Well put. You know, and I'm not here to mock Lorne Coleman or Cryptomundo, okay? My thing is this. You know, are you looking for ratings? Because you know how to slander people real well. You know how to bash people real well. All I'm saying is, get to the bottom of the story. You've been in the industry long enough. Whether or not these guys got the DNA, who knows, okay? Whether or not Ketchum is going to do the right thing, because from what I understand, and we'll know pretty soon here, okay, that she's not doing her own DNA. She's sending it out herself. You know, if you want a good horse doctor, go see Melba Ketchum. You want a good, you know, veterinarian, because I know she knows how to, you know, spray some stuff down a cat's throat and all that kind of stuff to get them doing okay. But when it comes to DNA, you really got to know your stuff, okay? And we're going to get into her real soon. So I want to know, what do you think about these stories being purported around the Internet and stuff that I left my team out in the green swamp and went and partied in my motel room all night long and got drunk?
Well, nothing can be further from the truth because, first of all, I was the one that had the combination to the lock to get into the area that we were working. And the only time I ever opened the gate was when you and your team were together. I never opened that gate to let anyone in other than you and your team.
Oh, now did
so
you also
you were always
found that this guy, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, did you also hear what's going around, that John Johnson has pictures of you and I out in the brush when I was down there?
Yeah, I heard that from somebody, but I find it kind of hard to believe because, first of all, you know as well as I do that was a narrow, that narrow dirt road was 3 miles long that went out to the campsite by the river. And the only way in was by that road, and the only way out was by that road. Now, we never saw any other vehicles out there, and I never saw anybody walking around on foot. Now, it is possible that they could have come in from a different vantage point by parking their car down the road or something, but I think that's pretty pathetic that someone would follow us around or try to follow us around because they gained nothing by doing that. If he did take pictures, I hope he sends me some of them to frame them and put them on
the
wall.
And I'll tell you the reason why, okay? Because, you know, it's getting really stupid now that all these Bigfoot operations out there can't go out and get any fresh stories. You know what they're doing, Tim? They're going to our archives on our radio show, contacting the people that we've gone out to see. They're doing it on our table of contents on our website to all of our locations, contacting these people. And, you know, I'm going to tell all the people out there, I hope you're not foolish to believe the bullshit. I've been out there. You've called me. We've investigated together. We've done this together, okay? If they do come out...
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want you to do. So what do you think about these people that's got much too much time on their hands and they're saying all this crap and everything else? Especially recently with all this garbage going on you. What the hell is that thing, Facebook or something?
Yeah, well, that seems to be a problem on Facebook systemically because the article I read the other day in the newspaper said that Facebook got 1 million less hits last month than they normally get. It seems that a lot of people are starting to pull away from Facebook because it's just become a forum for gossip and infighting and the spreading of rumors. And people like myself that don't have a lot of time, they do not want to concern themselves with Facebook or bother with it. Every time I go on it, it's not very good. Well, sometimes it is. It's just, I don't know any of these people and probably will never meet them, so I have no use for Facebook. But some of the stories that I've heard, primarily Alex Hearns out of Arizona, he seems to be fixated on Tom Biscardi, and I don't know why, because he broke away from you and basically resigned himself from any contact with you at all and wanted to go his own merry way, and which is fine. People have a right to do that. But when you do something like that, why do you spend the next 2 months poor-mouthing and trash-talking about the guy especially when he was the one who introduced me to you, and he had nothing but good things to say about you, and he talked you up, he spoke highly of you, and he thought you were a credible researcher, and that you didn't hoax, and that you were a great guy, and he was inspired by you, and that he loved you. He called you Pop, or Poppy.
Yeah,
he talked the world of you, and you were very good to him. And then he decides to go away and do his own thing, I believe he wanted to associate himself with another research group, and they didn't want to be involved with Tom Scardi, so he had to break away. But I believe that whatever plans he had didn't work out, and they didn't work out fast. So because of that, he's poor mouthing you, and he's poor mouthing me as well, and I don't know why. He's a friend of Mitch. I just assumed, Mitch is a great guy. I think if anybody was a friend of Mitch, had to be a good guy. But I'm not going to hold Mitch responsible for what Alex Jones has been saying. But what these people need to do is they need to go do research. They need to forget about Facebook and forget about their blogs or whatever, and they need to spend more time out in the field looking for Bigfoot. That's what I suggest that they do. And, well, since they don't do it, the only thing they can do is just go on the forums and the message boards and just spread their venom. And, quite frankly, I'm bored with it. I'm just really bored with it. And I decided to take a new direction in my own research to just focus on what I'm doing and not do any videos poor mouthing anyone else. I don't want to respond to anything anyone has to say because I just don't have, there are not enough minutes in the day for me to do that. With working 70 hours, doing research and trying to get some sleep at night and do my chores and my errands and go to the grocery store and do laundry and do all these things, 24 hours in a day is not enough time. I'm sure you probably felt that way yourself at certain points in your life. So
many, 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 many times. You know, let's wrap this up on the thing that you made me laugh that one day. And I says, my God, it's so true what you just said. Now, do you remember what you had said to me?
About Alex Roman. Yeah, someone told me that he's living off disability, and I believe you told me he was living off disability, and I made an offhand comment that based on his videos and him climbing mountains and stuff, that he gets around better than I do. I've got gout, and I've got a bad knee, and I've got a bad back, and I sometimes have trouble getting around, and I don't know if I could climb these mountains, and these things are just scurry right up there, and he was telling me that he had a campsite in Arizona that was at 6,000 feet that he climbed up, walked up, or hiked up to get up to 6,000 feet. What any man is capable of doing that? It cannot be disabled. I'm sorry, unless he's blind. But considering that he's not blind, I don't know how he can be disabled. So if he's drawn disability, and I mean, I don't want to say anything that would, be considered slanderous, but if a man is drawn disability and he's capable of climbing mountain ranges, then I don't think he can call anyone else a hoaxer, because it sounds to me like he's scamming the system. It's literally like millions of other Americans who scam the system to get money from taxpayers. And I've never asked my government for one dime. I've never taken one dime from my government. And I would do everything I could possibly do to not take any money because I'm an independent businessman, even though right now things are very well. But like, You, for example, Tom, everything you've done in your life, you've been self-employed, you've had ambition, you've gone forward, you've created things, you've created rock concerts and shows in Las Vegas, and your company searching for Bigfoot. Everything that you've done has never had a damn thing to do with the federal government. It's had everything to do with Tom Viscardi and what he's all about and his ambition and drive. And the world really needs more people like that. The world will be a better place because of that. That's just basically my opinion.
Well, you know, listen, Jim, that's your opinion. Nobody can change that. I just wish that these people, you know, when especially the ones that have left, you know, I've got the utmost respect for Jabba Bob, and you know that. He's been my right-hand man for the longest time, okay? But when this clown comes up there and tells me Jabba Bob is despicable, he did skullduggery behind your back, and I says, really? I says, well, prove it to me, okay? And then he says, it's all going to come out and all this crap with the Melba Ketchum crap because we were the ones. It was me. It was Jabba Bob, Shannon, and Richie. Anybody needs to know the truth. That's the truth. There's the four musketeers that started and spearheaded this whole thing. And if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have had nothing. And if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't have had shit. We're going to get into that. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show. Thank you for your opinions. And
I just wanted to tell you something real quick.
Go ahead.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I saw a bumper sticker yesterday. It said, re-elect Obama. Millions on welfare are depending on that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm with you, partner. Thanks for coming on and talking.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, it's the management and the staff of Searching for Bigfoot. Sometimes we may not agree with our guests, but we use our vehicle here so they could vent and tell their stories. I'm not in the business to badmouth anybody, and my gosh, you know that I've been a victim all the way down the line. You know what? I got broad shoulders. You say what you want about me. I got thick skin, alligator skin. But attack my family. Attack my friends. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get your ass. And you know who out there who I'm talking about. Go on. See who has the last laugh. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, hey, I got Young Blood on the phone, and Young Blood, by popular demand, I don't know what it is, these people just love hearing your stories. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to pull a twist on this one, okay? And I want you, okay, tell the truth to everybody out there because we've never talked about this. Who brought the evidence samples to Melba Ketchum out there to Texas, to Tipton, Texas? Who was it?
Well, to tell you the God's honest truth, Chief gives me a call in the middle of the night one night, which, you know, that happens in the Bigfoot world. We don't sleep much. Sleep's overrated. And in Tom's opinion, there's plenty of time for that when you're dead. But he calls me up in the middle of the night. He's like, we got something we got to go take care of. He's like, this has to be done now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. So he calls me up and says, I'll be there in 20 minutes to pick you up. And, you know, fortunately, I was out in the area at the time where I was pretty close to where Chief was. He was working on something else. He comes by. Just like he said, he was already en route when he called me. To give you the level of importance that he was trying to convey to me over the phone, which I was like, well, where are you at? He's like, well, I'm 20 minutes from you. I'll be there in about 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay, Chief, I'll see you in a few minutes. So I get up and throw my stuff on, grab a bag, throw a few things in it. I was like, because he didn't say anything about where we were going, how long we were going to be gone, nothing like that. So he gets there, and he's like, did you pack enough clothes? I was like, for what? And he's like, well, we got to go all the way across the country. I was like, okay, let me go back in real quick. Give me about 10 minutes, I'll be ready. Went in, threw the stuff in the suitcase, drug suitcase out, threw it in the truck. We're gone. So where are we going, Chief? He's like, we're going to Texas first. And drop some stuff off with a DNA doctor who's supposed to take care of it for us. And she supposedly was under agreement to handle all these things for us, make sure it was done right in an appropriate manner and all the right steps were followed and taken. So just me and Tom, only two in the vehicle, we strike out cross country, drive straight through. We drive for 36 and a half hours to get there. And like I said, he called me in the middle of the night. You know, it was like 1 in the morning when we left. But we get there anyway. It's the middle of the night there when we arrive. Like I think 11:30 p.m. when we got there, and we stayed there till like 4 a.m. Handling over evidence, getting paperwork signed, getting agreements, contracts, and all that stuff taken care of. Personally hand-delivered 13 articles of DNA samples. We had like, I think, 6 or 7 different hair samples from all over God's creation that we've had over the years that we've picked up. We had a couple of flesh samples that we brought in. There was a couple other little samples we brought in that we thought were questionable. And we got all that taken care of. Everything's fine. Everything hunky-dory. Do we need to talk about restitution or anything like that, Chief, at this time?
No, here's what I want. And it was 5 pieces of evidence, but made up a lot more than that, actually. But 5 that was denoted on the evidence release form that she signed. And here's the thing I want to bring out to everybody out here, that she signed it and I signed it and was witnessed by Youngblood on her reciprocal non-disclosure and conflict of interest agreement. And then tells about DNA Laboratories, Inc., DBA, Shelterwood Laboratories, evidence release. And it goes into breaking down each one. But the thing that she doesn't understand, or nobody else out there understands, on the bottom it states, it is understood that Dr. Ketchum is solely responsible for all above evidence released by Tom Biscardi. Also, upon demand, if asked, all evidence will be returned to Mr. Biscardi, which has not been done. Which has not been done, ladies and gentlemen. And this was signed January 8th, 2010. Now, I don't care about if there's any type of time element involved in this thing, because those samples have not been returned to me, Melba Ketchum. I'm tired of the lies. There was 4 main people involved. 4 main people. It was myself, another team member, Jabba Bob, Shannon, wonderful woman out of Modesto. If anybody could be a scientist, it's her. And then another brother, who we're going to be listening to in a minute here, Richie Substead, which I believe knows more than Melba Ketchum, okay? And which we'll get to that. That's the God's honest truth. So, without any further ado, I think this is a good point. Richie, are you out there? Come on and join this conversation.
Okay, I'm here. I'm unmuted.
Miracle. Good. Right. I'm glad to see that you're with us, my brother, and I appreciate it. And, oh, I want to let everybody know this. You know, these people that I have the samples for, this is something that you better listen up real close. They have signed agreements with us called Limited Association Agreement. And Articles 1, 2, and 3 says, supply directly. Their evidence was supplied directly and solely to SFBI. Number 2, we have final decision concerning the evidence. And number 3, we have complete access and usage of the evidence. People, for some reason, forget, ladies and gentlemen, what they sign and what they agree upon. I don't, okay? I don't. So, The problem that we have here is that the playing field needs to be straightened out here. Richard, were you one of the 4 musketeers that pioneered this deal with Melba Ketchum?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Was it correct that you and I, my company, and you financed the DNA for the project?
That's correct. You drove out there with the samples, and I gave her money to do the DNA testing.
That's correct. That's correct. Everything you're saying is true. Now, in the beginning, they didn't want to do any of this thing. I had talked to her for a while, and then she finally agreed. Is that correct?
I guess that's correct. She had done some DNA testing before we got there last January, but it was very limited.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, when we went out there, believe me, because I went out there before you, because I know you went later on, and I know the whole story, because we've talked about this.
So that's the whole point of this conversation. Here's the problem that I'm having right now. I'm hearing all these stories, and I mean stories from A to Z. And it's just like, Richie, you and I being on a stool at a tavern somewhere, having innate education from Maine to Spain. My question is this. From the time when I asked her for the... Because she won't talk to me, by the way. Will she talk to you?
No, she won't.
She won't talk to you neither.
No.
She sent to me this thing via the email, stating that it was what the hell did she call it? Foreign female, a European female nail. That's what she said it was. And then I understand, apparently after that, due to the fact of Europe's persistence, you directed her in the right frame of mind.
Well, should I take the floor and tell you what happened?
I'm sorry?
So you want me to take the floor here and tell you exactly?
I want you to tell the truth.
Yeah. So when I got out there in late January after you delivered those samples, we looked at all five samples, and I saw all five of them. There was, I believe, two hair samples, some bones. There were some skeletal remains from a skeleton, a giant skeleton. There was a hand of unknown origin from, I don't know if it's Idaho or Montana. And there was a sample from northwestern Arizona. And the only one that interested her was the northwestern Arizona sample. She thought the hand of unknown origin was a grizzly bear or a bear. And we'd actually made a bet on that, but I don't know if she's ever tested it, so I don't even know if I can collect or if she can collect on the bet. It was only a $2 bill we bet, so it wasn't exactly a huge bet. And then there were the two hair samples that she determined, or somebody determined, were from some known animal, or both of them were different animals. And then there were was the bone, and I don't think she was able to extract DNA from that bone sample. And she looked at the pictures, and she thought it was an American Indian.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you something. I think she's in the guest, one of the guests right now on our chat room. But she just says Richard could have come back at any time, but refused to sign a DNA, so he is out of his own accord. Whatever that means.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened: the DNA NDA that you signed. And the NDA that I signed both expired, and they expired last October. And so I offered at the time that she could that we could extend that same NDA, and she didn't want to sign that because she had, by that time she had gotten a lawyer for herself. And I don't want to blame her for all this, but the lawyer advised her, I can't do it now. I advised her that... that it wasn't a good idea to lawyer up, because all that would happen is it would end up in litigation or in whatever lawyers do best, and that's pretty much what's happening. And so she sent me an alternative NDA that basically says she's in charge of everything. And, you know, I'm sure that's good for her and for her lawyer, but it's no good for anybody else. So don't feel like the Lone Ranger here. Everybody who had an original NDA or had submitted samples besides Tom Biscardi and even besides me or Java Bob, everybody seems to be put out into left field at this point, except newer folks who have signed such an NDA. That's my opinion. I don't know what they've signed. So
let me ask you this.
Yeah?
Since everybody's out of the circle, and I'll tell you what, I don't think I'm out of the circle, because I have not been returned those items by her, and formal letter was going out by the attorney, and I think it'll hit her no later than Friday, And she's going to have a lot of explaining to do, because just last month I was in Lima, Montana. I stopped in to see Don Monroe, and Don says, "Tom, they never sent me that back." And now, from what I understand that you know, she told in the beginning that she sent them back to me. She didn't send them back to me, and she knows she didn't send them back. Okay. But that's okay. That's okay. It'll all come out in discovery. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a cease and desist against all this bullshit. And we'll get to the bottom of it, okay?
Well, she sent a box to me, and I forwarded that to you. What was in that box?
Not the stuff that I had. That
well,
I gave.
I don't know what was in there, but she said, I mean, she claimed those were your samples, and I sent them to you. I didn't even open the box.
Yeah, okay. Well, she, first of all, number one, okay, she breached the contract. It stated very clear, like I read on the air, okay, upon my request, they'd be sent back to me only.
Yeah.
It happened, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Didn't happen. Now the story's going out there that because of the nuclear stuff,
nuclear DNA.
That's yep. Right. After the stuff we've gotten paid for. It came back that she's discovered the fountain of youth. I don't know what's a better word to put in there, but something that, rejuvenated, the cells rejuvenate itself in 3 days and come back to life. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know about that, because once we had done three mitosequences, I was no longer in the project, and all I really saw were three mitosequences, and they were from, I believe, three different organizations.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
One of them was from you.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I just hope that people step up to the plate and do the right thing. I want the right credits going to the right people. People have no idea what we went through, the time, the money, The traveling that went through this. Here, I'm listening to this guest again. I might seem distant. It says, Erickson is not associated with Melbourne or the Olympic Project. What are they talking about? Well,
Hold on. Erickson is not associated with the Olympic Project. He has an NDA with Melba, but she hasn't abided by the NDA that exists. He has paid a lot more money than all of us put together into the project, and he hasn't gotten any results except his own mitochondrial or his own NDA or DNA results of his own blood sample to assure the world that the sample wasn't contaminated by him, the ones he sold.
Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. This guest is also writing right now. Tom, Java Bob or Richard got ever bit of data they paid for?
I got the mito data from that sample that you brought in there, and she sent that to you, so that part's true. I paid for another one from another party, and I never got that data.
Yeah. I don't know who this guest is. You know, guest, I'd love to know what your name is. So why don't you put your name in there and call me?
It's probably Melba.
Let's go. Let's talk. You know,
probably Melba.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what who I thought it was. Okay, that's what you need to do if you are out there, Melba, listening. Do the right thing and give the right people the right classification here. And if it's true that you found the fountain of youth, this so-called mystery cell that rejuvenates itself after 3 days and comes alive, share it with the world. I'd be interested in that. Okay? I really would. I'd like to know what's going on here. Okay?
What's going on is she has a set of lawyers. I think there's been three different lawyers, and they're advising her not to share anything. And she is not going to share anything whatsoever. So you have to forget that one. It's just lost. And I don't know what Adrian Erickson's going to have to do, but he may have to start over as well. unless she abides by her agreement with him. I don't know if she will. I just don't know.
Okay. So one more time, I'm going to ask you again. Do you think that through the nuclear DNA sequencing that she had done, if she's had it done, do you think that they've discovered what we've talked about?
I believe so, but I don't know it for a fact because I haven't seen any data. I've only seen the mitochondrial data, and all three I've seen have come back 100% Homo sapiens.
Okay. All right. Now here it goes out. Somebody, John Johnson, says, I used your name. My opinion, John. You want to call me? You've got my number. And if you don't have it, go to the website and get it. I'd love to talk to you. I'd like to see all this bullshit, if there's any truth in it. So, John, you just give me a jingle. I'm at your disposal. I'm the easiest guy in the world to get to. Just go to search
it. Is that J.C. Johnson?
Huh?
Are you talking about J.C. Johnson?
No, J.C.'s a brother. He wouldn't defame me, nor would I defame him. He knows better than that.
Yeah, I don't know who John Johnson is. I don't know. Sorry.
Grendel Films. He was there with M.K. Davis. I talked to him years ago.
Okay.
And so he wants to talk. I have no problems with talking with him.
At any rate, I think the exciting thing is that I believe that we've finally gotten somewhere, but because of the infighting in the various disparate groups, we can't cooperate. And unfortunately, Melba doesn't help things very much by lowering up and turning against all the rest of us. And like I said, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. We're all on her shit list, except the ones that have signed an NDA that basically says she controls, owns all the intellectual rights to everything ad infinitum.
Okay, by the way, this guest, who won't say who the name is, asks you a question. Richard, do you have an NDA with Erickson?
Yes.
Do you have one with him?
Yes.
Okay, so you cannot disclose anything that he's got going?
Right.
Okay, we'll honor that. We'll honor that. Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, this guest knows an awful lot what's going on with you guys.
Oh, it's Melba.
Oh, it is her?
I would think so.
Well, Chief, do you mind if I put my 2 cents worth in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd just like to say that, without cooperation, nobody's going to get nothing except for the courts, if that's the route that ends up, being taken. By the time, you put in all the court fees and pay for all the attorneys and everything, if you did discover anything, you're not going to have nothing left over, not even a scrap to fight between all of us.
Well put. Well, is Mitch, are you on the line? Mitch, wait.
No, Mitch is not on.
Well, what the gentleman just said there is true, and that's the nature of lawyers. I mean, that's the way the things work in this country, and I told Melba that. When she lawyered up herself, I said, if we're going to lawyer up, we should make our whole team, everybody who contributed samples, should lawyer up together so that we go to the media together. And that was the original idea. Well, she didn't like that, and so she lawyered up herself, and all hell has broken loose since.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to put it out there so everybody can listen. My number, you can call me, is 415-518-8494. I'm going to repeat it one more time. 415-518-8494. There's people saying that they can't get a hold of me. Well, you got it now. You got my phone number. You guys call me. Let's talk this stuff. And here's a guest on here that says, Rob the Killer. Must be him.
Rob who?
My young blood that was just on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, listen, Richie, always a pleasure. We'll be talking down the line. We'll talk more about what we've talked about earlier today.
Okay.
Okay, and thank you so much. God bless you. Have a happy holiday coming up. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long.
We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legends.